Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by TechServe. TechServe is New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider, serving individual customers, creative professionals, and Fortune 100 companies. TechServe has built a solid reputation on its expertise in technology, sales, and service. As a company that believes in honest and forthright business practices, TechServe is proud to sponsor Heritage Radio Network in the promotion of sustainable lifestyles. To support sustainability in New York City, TechServe is holding an e-waste recycling drive Saturday, April 10th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Welcome to Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. I'm a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education in Manhattan. So last week, I probably mentioned, or I may have been mentioning every week for a few weeks, that this Wednesday night, tomorrow night, the 24th, I will be participating in a gala fundraising benefit for Streets International, which is the program that I am involved with in Vietnam. And I've talked a lot about the program before. But the event is at the Astor Center in Manhattan, which is on Lafayette and East 4th Street. It's above Astor Wines. And there are still a few tickets left. It's almost sold out, but there are some tickets left for what should be a really fantastic event. We are having chef's tasting stations. We're doing street food, and you can walk around and try all the different foods. I'll have a station. Tom Colicchio will be there. The chefs from Locanda Verde will be there. Floyd Cardos from Tabla. There's going to be a lot of us, and it should be pretty great. If you're a fan of Asian street food, you may want to come down and check it out. Tickets are $150, but it's totally worth it because it goes to support a great program in Vietnam. You can find out more about it at streetsinternational.org. So since tomorrow night is that event for Streets, and I am having a station, I thought I'd talk a little bit about that. What I'm making tomorrow night are spring rolls. Not just any spring rolls, though. These are our Hoi An style spring rolls. Hoi An is the town in Vietnam where Streets has its restaurant and training center. So I thought I would do tonight's show kind of about, you know, what's the difference between spring rolls, summer rolls, egg rolls, lumpia, which are Filipino spring rolls. You know, they're all kind of similar. They all fall along the same lines, but they all have their differences. The rolls that I'm making are Hoi An style because they're wrapped in these very unique wrappers that come from that part of Vietnam, Quang Nam province. And they're a wrapper made from rice and tapioca starch, but they look like net or like lace. They're not a solid wrapper. They're like mesh almost. They call them net wrappers. The wrappers are made by making a very, very thin batter of rice flour and tapioca flour and water. And then basically you'd stick your fingers, or I'm sure they have machines, but your fingers into that batter and kind of drizzling your fingers over a hot surface, sort of like spin art. Remember spin art? Sort of like that, but with batter instead of ink. And then those crisp up, and then you peel them off, and then you have these wrappers, and then you roll them up. You roll your spring roll filling up inside of them, and you deep fry them. And all those little threads fry, and they kind of puff up, and they create this really crispy, kind of lacy, shattering wrapper for spring roll. They're pretty great. They're pretty cool. And the effect, it's beautiful to look at. It's very sort of mesh-like and almost flaky, but not really a flake. I've never seen those wrappers for sale here in the U.S. So when we decided to do this particular thing for the event, my colleague, Neil Burmes, who's the director of Streets, who was flying back, he came back to the U.S. on Sunday or Monday. He had to bring a case of them back in his luggage. So he schlepped those back with him yesterday. So if you're intrigued and you want to try some of these, you're just going to have to buy a ticket to the event. So when I started, you know, we were working on this event, and I started thinking early this morning when I was putting together the show about these spring rolls. And what I remembered also was that in Vietnam in particular, and in other Asian countries too, there's this kind of funny phenomena of translating menus or translating signs based on the way your competitor did it or your neighbor. So if one person does a translation of something, everybody just kind of copies it, which, you know, makes sense if one person does all the work and then everybody else has this copycat mentality of doing it. But what happens is that everyone just assumes that they translated correctly. And if they made a mistake, then everybody else copies the mistake too. So in Hoi An, where spring rolls are very popular and they're on every menu, someone somewhere back in time at some point translated spring roll, but they misspelled it to spring rule. So it's R-O-O-L, like spring rule, R-U-L-E. And now literally everywhere in town, any restaurant that has a menu translated in English for tourists says fresh spring rule or fried spring rule, not spring roll. And it's pretty funny. It always makes me giggle. And, you know, spring really does rule. So they're not totally wrong. And now it's finally spring here, so it rules. And, you know, spring rules, especially if you fry it, then what's better than that? It's just this kind of funny copycat phenomenon that goes on that I kind of love. It's sort of, I think it's along the same lines as why in Asia you'll have streets where all the shops sell the exact same thing on the same block. So you'll have like an entire street that sells bicycle tires or like rubber bands and file folders, and they all set up shop on the same street instead of breaking up around town. Or like in Hanoi, there's a street that's called Fried Fish Street, and that's all they sell is fried fish. It's very different than the way we think about business, where we think about like strategic location, you know, or being the only one of something in a neighborhood. I think I, you know, my Western brain just doesn't really understand it probably, but it's funny. So anyway, spring rolls, egg rolls, lumpia, they're all basically the same thing. You know, some chopped up stuff, probably originally leftovers, chopped up meat, chopped up vegetables, rolled up in something doughy, like a wrapper, and fried. Or in the case of Vietnamese summer rolls, not fried. All food cultures have their ways of using up leftovers because, you know, originally people were really thrifty. Now, I just watched my students today throw away two entire whole roasted chickens, which made me upset. But, you know, originally people used to use up all their little bits of food. And if, you know, you had little bits that you couldn't really serve, you would, you know, you could chop them up and make something great out of it. So, you know, that's what sausage making is. That's what salami is. It's a way of using up scraps after the animal was butchered. And, you know, when meat was an expensive, precious commodity, nothing was wasted. So ravioli, dumplings, wontons, it's all just dough-wrapped leftovers. And in Asia, a lot of the cultures can their food sort of originated in China. China was sort of the mother cuisine for a lot of the Asian cuisines. And that's where this whole kind of spring roll thing came from, this idea of rolling things up in pastry. Of course, you know, dumplings, bao, those buns, they all come from there. But they all kind of spring from Chinese culture. So we're going to take a quick little break. And when we come back, we're going to delve more deeply into why spring rules. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by TechServe. TechServe is New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider. Welcome back to Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network. We're talking about spring rolls and all their cousins tonight, or as they like to spell it in Vietnam, spring rule. And since it is spring, spring is ruling tonight. So we were talking about in the last end of the last segment about China and how these spring rolls trace their roots back to China. You know, we all grew up eating egg rolls, Chinese restaurants, and egg rolls are the kind of the mother of it all. They're like the fattest, big stuffed one, usually filled with cabbage and pork and egg. And the filling in those tends to be a little bit simpler, not as complex. But when you get into Vietnamese or Thai or Filipino spring rolls, there's a lot more going on. And the ones that I'm making for tomorrow night, we made like 400 of them today, have a lot of stuff in them. Very typical Vietnamese. I have pork and shallots and garlic, ginger, tree ear mushrooms, carrots, bean thread noodles, cilantro, mint, fish sauce, sugar, like a lot of ingredients went into the mix. So a lot of chopping. I had assistants helping me though. And then those all got wrapped up in those beautiful mesh wrappers that I was talking about. And or they can also be wrapped up in rice paper wrappers, very Vietnamese, and then fried. And they'll get served with a sauce that's a typical Vietnamese sauce, Nook Cham, which is fish sauce and lime juice and sugar and chilies in some combination or another. Using the rice paper is pretty uniquely Vietnamese. In Thailand and the Philippines, they wrap them up in a wheat flour wrapper that comes fresh and you peel them off. And they're sort of more flaky and crackly, more pastry-like because they're made from wheat. The rice flour ones are more like flexi crisp, which is one of my favorite words, where it sort of bends but is also crispy. Sort of a chewy, almost like bacon, where it bends, but then it breaks. The fillings are similar, though. You know, you generally they have pork in them, and I've had them where they're pork and shrimp in them. They always have some vegetables, some kind of mushroom, usually some noodles. But, you know, the pork and shrimp ones are perfect for the Jewish holidays, of course, coming up. We'll get into that later in the show, because it's almost Passover. Now, so lumpia, spring rolls, those are basically the same thing. That idea. Egg rolls are bigger. They use a wheat flour wrapper. They have a lot more cabbage inside of them. And then summer rolls, on the other hand, are not fried at all. Summer rolls are fresh. And they're meant to be eaten during the real hot days of summer, the hottest days of summer, when frying or eating fried food, you know, wouldn't be appealing, wouldn't be appetizing because it's too hot. Because in Vietnam, there's a hot season and a not so hot season. But having been there now in almost every season, I can say that it's hot almost all the time. Even, like, at least, like, for my, you know, Eastern European internal thermostat, it's hot all the time. Although my Vietnamese friends there were complaining in January about how cold it was because it was 65 degrees. And I was thrilled. But they thought it was so cold, they wanted me to bring down jackets for them. So anyway, these summer rolls, what you eat in summer when it's too hot, are made with rice paper wrappers. And maybe you've eaten them before. They're pretty common, pretty typical. But they're always filled with fresh ingredients. So you want to use things that can either be eaten raw or don't require any further cooking. So you use things like cooked shrimp or cooked pork, rice, vermicelli, herbs, chives. You wrap those all up in that dampened wrapper. And those are generally served with a peanut sauce or a sauce that's like a blend of peanut sauce with hoisin and chili paste mixed together. And you can play around with them. You can do variations. Sometimes I'll put in like grilled strips of beef or avocados or mangoes. You can really have fun with it. You can also take those rice papers and dampen them and wrap pieces of raw fish in them and then fry it or saute it. And so the wrapper gets really, really crisp, flexi crisp. But the fish stays really nice and like moist and very lightly cooked, which is really nice. And the wrappers are handmade, which is amazing. And you see them drying on bamboo mats in the sun all over the country. And considering how cheaply they're sold here, it's really astounding that they're handmade because it takes a lot of work. But anyway, the key to proper use of rice paper is in the hydration. Now, in Vietnam, where it's really humid all the time, the rice papers are just kept tucked between a stack of banana leaves, and the banana leaves keep them damp, and it keeps them damp enough so that they're flexible that you can just naturally roll things up in them without them cracking. But here you buy them in packages and they're very crisp, so you have to hydrate them. So my favorite way to do it is to just dunk them in really, really hot water really quickly, because or you can put them between damp towels, but I don't really like to do that. I like the hot water really, really quickly, and then get them out, because the idea is that you want them hydrated and flexible, but you don't want them wet. It's sort of like the riddle of the Sphinx. It's like a brain teaser. How do I get this hydrated without getting it wet? And the idea is that if you dip them in really, really hot water, then when you take them out and lay them out on your table, the heat from the hot water will cause very rapid evaporation, and the water will evaporate out, but the thing itself will stay hydrated and flexible. You want them to be kind of sticky and feel almost like a latex glove, kind of that sticky latex feel. And you want that because then when you roll them up, they'll stick to themselves and kind of lock closed. If you get them too wet, leave them in the water too long, they disintegrate and they're useless. So a real, like a quick dip in super hot water is all you need. Then you let it sit on your board, it hydrates, and then you're good to go. You can actually watch a video of me doing this if you're interested. If you go to my personal culinary website, which is chefsmartypants.com, and click on video, there's actually a video of me doing it. The first time I was ever on TV, it was a long time ago, but it was my first time. It was live. I made summer rolls on some Connecticut morning news show. We had a great old time. You can watch that if you want. Anyway, like I said, the Thai and Filipino versions use these fresh wheat flour wrappers that come kind of all stacked up, and you just peel them off, and then they're either refrigerated or frozen, and then you have to brush them with like a little bit of egg to act like glue. Same kind of filling, roll them up, deep fry them. And they're really good too. They're also easy to work with, but I'm a big fan of the rice paper. I like the rice paper better. I like that flexi crisp texture. And I'm generally partial to Vietnamese food. You know why? Well, you may not know why, because I spend a lot of time there. Anyway, so that's kind of the difference between the spring roll, the summer roll, the egg roll, the lumpia. Just different wrappers, different fillings, just different food. And since we're talking spring rolls, of course, I'll remind you that I did a show about 5 or 6 weeks ago, which was about Tet, which is Asian Lunar New Year, because when I came back from Vietnam in February, it was right before Tet. Tet is really considered the beginning of spring in Asia, and that's when you would eat traditional Tet foods, like rice cakes or, of course, spring rolls. And now that it's officially spring, it was Tet there, now it's spring here, it's also time to talk about our spring holidays, Passover and Easter, which are coming up very soon. Both of them are, of course, you know, religious celebrations, but also are celebrations of spring and rebirth and renewal. And there are foods that are associated with these holidays, like eggs, of course, are very symbolic. They're used for Easter, they're used for Passover on the Seder plate. They're very symbolic of rebirth and beginnings, and they're round. And round food shows up a lot in religious holidays, not just in Western culture, but in Eastern culture too. And of course, also at Passover, you want to eat spring greens and bitter herbs. And last week on my show, I was talking a little bit about dandelions. And I think dandelions are like the perfect Passover Seder plate green to serve, because they're the first thing that comes up in the spring. They're a real symbol of renewal, and they're a little bit bitter. And you know us Jews, we like the bitter. So if you're having a Seder, which I am, you could put some dandelions on your Seder plate. I have a Seder plate, but I mean, I have a Seder, but we cut to the chase pretty quickly. We don't really read the whole Haggadah. We read the good parts, sing a couple of songs, get kind of silly, drink a lot of wine, and then eat dinner, which is fine with me. I don't need to do the hardcore version. But one thing I do is I make my own matzah. I make handmade artisanal matzah. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the matzah. We'll be right back on Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network.
¶¶
You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Our show tonight is sponsored by TechServe. Welcome back to Why We Cook on heritageradionetwork.com. Remember that you can listen to this show live every Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. or you can podcast it on iTunes anytime, or you can listen to it archived on heritageradionetwork.com. You have many, many options when it comes to listening to Heritage Radio. You can also become a fan of Why We Cook. Find us on Facebook, Why We Cook on heritageradionetwork.com. Become a fan. Send me a message. You can also, you have so many options. You can also leave comments on the shows on the Heritage Radio Network website. And I love the comments. I get a few every week and I love them. So keep them coming. I love them. So where was I? We were talking about how we are segueing into spring and how next week is Passover. And how I make my own matzah. So that's like my one little nod to being Jewish, is that I do have a Seder and I do like to make my own matzah. And I started doing it about, 15 years ago. Somebody gave me as a gift the book Baking with Julia. That would be Julia Child. And it's a book that she did before she died with a whole bunch of different bakers and pastry chefs. And they all contributed recipes. And Lauren Groveman, who's a cookbook author, contributed a matzah recipe. And Julia, in all her waspy patrician New England ways, wrote the commentary on the recipes. And there was this matzah recipe, and she recommended it not just as a matzah for Passover, but as an excellent cracker for serving with cocktails, which I just love. Very Julia. But it's really, really easy to do. You basically just mix flour and salt and water until you have a nice stiff dough. You throw in a few sesame seeds for flavor. But the real trick, the real work to it is in the rolling. You have to roll them out super thin, paper thin, and then you have to dock them, which means you take a fork and you make little holes all over it. You have to do that so when you bake them, they don't puff up, because they should be flat. If they puff up, they're considered leavened, and that's no good. But you also want them to stay flat. So you have to heat your oven up also, like as hot as possible. Put it on the highest setting before a broil. And if you have a pizza stone, that's even better. If you don't, you can use an inverted sheet pan to kind of emulate one. And, or simulate one. Would it be simulate? I guess so. Anyway, you roll them out and then you kind of sling the matzah over a rolling pin to get it to the oven, and you unfurl it by sort of flinging it onto the hot stone. And it cooks for about 30 seconds on one side, and then you have to get in there and flip it over and cook it for about 30 seconds on the other side. And if you go for too long, you'll burn. So as Julia said, don't even answer the phone if you're doing this, because they'll burn. And then they're done, and you take them out and you let them cool. And so I love to do this, and sometimes I'll mix other seeds into the dough, or spices, or like cracked black pepper. You can go really crazy with it. Except one year I put flaxseed in, and not ground flaxseed, but whole flaxseed. And that was bad, because everybody at the Seder got really, really gassy and really bloated and really uncomfortable. So don't put whole flaxseed. Ground is okay. It's a little time consuming and labor intensive to do this, but I feel like it's totally worth it. Truly artisanal food. As handmade gets. And I'm very proud of my matzah. It's really the only thing I do that's vaguely Jewishy, really. And I like it. I think it's great. Of course, it's totally unkosher making your own matzah, because there are all these really strict rules about how the real stuff is made. But I think that's just like the matzah mafia, you know, trying to control the industry like everything else. And it's not like I keep kosher anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But there are all these crazy rules, like about how long the dough can sit once it's been mixed, because if you mix flour and water together and just let it sit, eventually it'll start to ferment. And that means leavening will occur. So I think it's like 18 minutes from the time you mix it to the time it comes out of the oven. And mine usually takes longer than that, because I'll, you know, check my email, Facebook, phone calls. I'm probably watching Jeopardy while I'm doing it. So it takes a little bit longer. But I don't care because I love it and they come out great. And I figure that making my own matzah really, you know, scores me enough points ultimately in the bigger picture that it's okay. It's not a big deal. Anyway, we're just about out of time. If you want the recipe for making matzah, you can send me a little message on Facebook or on the Heritage Radio site. And I'll send it to you. It's really easy. And maybe you'll try it yourself. So that's about it for this week. I will be off next Tuesday night because I have to have my dandelions and matzah. But I'll be back the week after. If you do make it to the Streets International Benefit at the Astor Center tomorrow night, please stop by and say hello and let me know that you're a listener of the show. I would love to meet you. Our show tonight was engineered and produced by Jack Inslee, who also rescued my computer from imminent death right before the show. So he's the best. That's it for Why We Cook. We'll see you next week on Heritage Radio Network.